If you overwhelm consumers digitally, it's the exact same thing as overwhelming them with phone calls. And not only does it have diminishing returns, it actually has negative returns because then your consumers are going to complain.
Welcome to Collecting Thoughts, CNR Software's new podcast. We are your one-stop shop for digestible industry news, anecdotes, and advice as told by the boots-on-the-ground industry leaders and subject matter experts. We'll be covering topics across the collection space, technology, and finance. I'm your host, Christina, and I'm happy to have you join us. Welcome to this episode of Collecting Thoughts. Today's guest is Dave Hanrahan, who leads Credit, which develops software tools that help everyday people navigate financial hardship and communicate effectively with financial services firms when in distress, independently or while being coached by financial advisors. Before founding Credit in 2020, Dave advised global founder-owned and VCP-backed technology companies on equity and debt capital raises, M&A pipeline identification and engagement, and business sales to financial sponsors and strategic acquirers. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So before we jump into our topic today, which is going to be all about omnichannel communication and how that powers the ideal customer-centric collection strategy, I want to take a step back and learn, how did you find yourself in this industry and what led you to founding a company like Credit?
As with most people who end up in the recovery and collection space, I did not graduate high school, graduate college, planning to get into the industry. It was a meandering path that has fortunately let me meet a lot of really incredible people. Out of school, I was really, really lucky to go work for a group of software investors in the Philadelphia area. And they invested in a bunch of different companies, from Credit Karma to Payoneer to different capital market software businesses, and really the guts of financial services as their assets under management grew. They invested in other software categories. From there, I moved up to New York City. Worked with different enterprise software companies on raising capital, selling themselves, buying other companies, and you know, banking, private equity, VC. It's such a privilege to be able to learn about a ton of different industries and see different things that can be applied to different spaces and cross-pollinate really, really good ideas to different verticals. So, you know, towards the tail end of my time working as a investment banker with those different software companies, I came across the debt settlement industry, and I was really, you know, intrigued by it because, you know, on its face, you wouldn't think that there's many consumers who are in such a difficult financial position they need to hire a financial advisor, let alone have the funds to do that if they're in a difficult position. And yet, debt settlement was a really, really common thing, and many, many consumers go down that path. So really it just led me down the rabbit trail of why would a consumer go through and work with a financial advisor? You know, commonly, you know, you'd think, like, why would they just not call the bank and try to work their problems out directly? It led me down the path of what is the consumer set of options when they approach financial distress, which, you know, led me to the whole collections industry. And really, you know, when we started our business, first thing we did was just, you know, shut up and show up to all the trade organizations and start talking to people about, hey, let's learn the guts of the business and how it works and why it works that way and all the regulation and all the lovely complication that is the collection of the NeuroFiber ecosystem. So winding path, but what I love about the collection space is that complication is also very specific. It's a very detail-oriented industry. There's a ton of really specific rules around the right way to do things. So if you're thinking about building software and engineering systems, really specific rules are a great thing. But it also, you know, the collections industry, there was a lot to be wanted, and especially from the consumer experience perspective, that for different regulatory reasons had not been allowed to innovate at the same pace as other industries. So we looked at the collection space, there were all of these lessons and all of these different technologies that had been applied in other industries that we thought had a really good opportunity to have legs within the collection space that could benefit the industry, but also benefit consumers in a really, really major way.
Going down this rabbit hole and learning about the guts from all these trade shows, obviously you identified some gaps that brought Credit to life. But seeing that the company was formed in 2020, I'm wondering how those gaps changed from what you thought going into after the pandemic hit and we were going through, you know, a ton of new people
in debt for probably the first time and more than ever needing very clear communication from these financial institutions. So what was that like navigating launching this kind of company during that time?
Yeah, so COVID brought a ton of changes, both good for the industry, but also difficult for the industry. I mean, biggest item is the workforce changes. So with everybody working from home, every organization had a ton of operational things to figure out how they staff, what their work situations are like, how they manage employees in a remote environment. So while you would think, okay, we have to do everything remotely, let's go through and digitize everything, organizations also had to figure out how they're going to take care of their people. and that was a big competing factor for Todd. I would say that the biggest thing that we saw change, though, was the implementation of Reg F. For a lot of time, the different recovery organizations had not been able to easily text and email and use digital channels. So the combination of COVID with Regulation F starting to go through and be really a boom for the industry in terms of how they're able to engage with consumers, it let a lot of organizations start that digitization process. The other thing that really changed in my mind is consumers were actually pretty responsible during COVID. If you look at all the stimulus checks, I don't think a lot of people in the early innings of COVID expected for liquidations to be as high as they were. I think everyone was really surprised in a good way by human behavior and the fact that people took a lot of those checks and used them to pay down debt and delever a little bit. Now, a lot of those checks have now been used. The cash savings that a lot of folks have are now back to normal levels. So you're seeing a little bit of that regress, but I would say people were really, really pleasantly surprised by human behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just at a conference last week, and there was an economist who went over exactly that, how we saw the savings spike happen, and obviously now it's leveled out, but consumers did have the opportunity to grow their savings in a way that they haven't before, which is, always a good thing. So,
yes.
Going to the communication side, clear communication is obviously a passion of yours since that's such a facet of credit. Getting specifically into the collection side, can you talk about the importance of purposeful omnichannel versus what people were doing before, which is sporadic, multi-channel, not necessarily data-driven, just trying to get in front of the consumer in some way?
Any industry is naturally going to go through, an evolution and maturation process. At first when people could text and emails, let's blast everything out, try every channel, just one giant learning exercise. What you very quickly learn, though, is if you overwhelm consumers digitally, it's the exact same thing as overwhelming them with phone calls. And not only does it have diminishing returns, it actually has negative returns because then your consumers are going to complain to regulators. They're going to complain via litigation. They're going to complain via non-payment. So not only do you have to be able to send those digital messages that people clearly prefer versus phone calls or then other communications, but you have to have the contents of that message be really specific. You have to have very clear call to actions. And even if you get that message out and have that consumer come through and convert, where you send them matters a ton. If you send them to a really sketchy looking website that hasn't been maintained well, that doesn't instill a lot of confidence as someone enters their sensitive bank information and card information and things like that. So I kind of think of it as one giant waterfall where, the industry has generally said, okay, the first step in the waterfall is being able to send communications. And then we're going to go through and have those different responses and be able to convert people. And if you can improve the conversions on your portal, then that gets people to have awareness of the accounts and then hopefully set up payments within there. But what you realize is that a lot of these communications are kind of on a circular path. So you're not going through and having a one-way waterfall where a consumer says, hey, I'm going to go through what your waterfall wants and never talk to you again. There's a lot of follow-up there, so people will re-enter your waterfall. So seeing not just how you convert, but also then how you reactivate folks and re-engage with folks and say, hey, I had this text exchange with you before. Let me take that context and use that as I'm reaching out again to say, I knew your reaction there, positive or negative. Let me go through and try to learn the good things that I did, and also understand the things that you didn't respond to and adapt behavior there. So being really responsive and taking that data and using it in a smart way and just being aware of it and having visibility is huge.
Absolutely. And you were saying it, right? Text, email, reaching these people, the digital channels that they prefer. Are there any that are coming to your attention that are booming even more than text was that listeners should be aware of, thinking of when they're thinking of their omnichannel strategy?
Yeah, so it really varies by product type, meaning financial products that the consumer has used. If you're going through, text can be really, really powerful. But you can't just think about what are open rates or what are click-through rates there. You actually need to look at further down the funnel, what does that text message lead to in terms of a payment plan? And does text or email, when you sign that consumer up for a payment plan, actually result in them staying on track with the payment plan? Or how can your reminders feed through? People don't constantly want text message reminders from things. They might want a payment receipt or, hey, you have an upcoming payment, that type of thing. So understanding the very specific pieces, the micro journey and which medium works well for that, also without breaking the bank, because text messages are much more expensive than emails. That's really important, which it's not super sophisticated. It's not rocket science. You just have to have the right team member who is going to dig through the weeds and go through those different pieces and really just, you know, drown themselves in that type of strategy, because it takes a very different way of thinking that a lot of people are really well tooled in the collection space to go through and do, because they have such great attention to detail and they're so hardworking. But I find often the difference between a successful implementation and a not successful implementation is who's that dedicated person where they just think about this 24/7.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, when companies are trying to tackle this, they're really just looking for that one touch point that's finally breaking through, and then they probably stick with that. But when you're dealing with something as sensitive and more personal as a text message, you really don't want to overwhelm them. And like everything, it's easy to unsubscribe from and then you lose it. So looking not just at the channel, but the channel and what that message was and what point in the collections process that was, it's a really good point that they need to start thinking of that and not just the channels individually. It could be different channels for different means. Do you have any specific success stories that you can share from clients where they elevated their omnichannel, maybe they changed their strategy and identified this main person that thinks about it 24/7, and what kind of results that they saw?
Well, so one of the interesting things that we see is we see a lot of organizations going from zero to one in terms of, I have not sent any text or emails before, and now I'm going through and graduating to starting to send those communications for the first time. So as I think through the biggest success story, it's hitting send for that first time. It's not going through and saying, oh, I took my open rates from, you know, 12% to 14%. That's great, obviously. But those are things that you can engineer around. The things that are honestly really intimidating for the user is hitting send that first time and then going through and hitting send again. So where I actually really find all these ways, working with different organizations where we're able to say, hey, let's get you the confidence to go through and be able to send those first communications and set up a plan where it's, hey, we're not going to send one campaign. We're going to go through and spread this communication out and say, okay, we're going to send this many communications here, this many communications here, this many communications here. So it's very, very steady and very easy for them to start to see those results and build those up over time. So generally speaking, we'll see a lot of organizations start with one channel and then add another channel and then add another channel so that they can piecemeal and digest those together. But as we've gone through, we've seen it across asset types from and different organization types, from agencies doing financial services paper to debt buyers focused on a mix of financial services and healthcare to other things. So it's really a variety. What I personally really enjoy seeing people find success with is hitting send for the first time and realizing, like, actually, they can do this too. It's not this super sophisticated thing that people should be intimidated by.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I was doing marketing here for CNR, I worked at a mortgage company in marketing, and I was in charge of, you know, outreach communications, so text messaging. And hitting the button for the text for the first time as the person hitting the button was pretty scary. But then, you know, it becomes part, just like sending them an email or just like calling them up. It's part of the strategy.
Yeah, I think the really intimidating piece is the big numbers, meaning like, you send, you know, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 emails and text messages. And that's the good and bad part of technology. You can do things really well at a large scale. You can also do things not well at a large scale. So you know, you want to go through and be really, really careful and really intentional, because you're working with a consumer who has had some financial difficulty, is at risk. So there's a really, really high bar for care there. But at the same time, you got to go through and learn from each one. So emotionally, that experience is it's important to get past the first time.
Absolutely. So we can't talk about technology without touching on AI. So mm-hmm. I wanted to know your thoughts on, you know, we're talking about people getting into texting for the first time and getting past that fear. But as always with the technology industry, it's moving forward, and everyone simultaneously is now trying to figure out how they can fit AI into their collection strategies. So how do you see AI continuing to transform omnichannel and overall a hyper-personalized outreach strategy in the collection space?
There were some really good examples of different organizations starting to use it on the creative side, looking at the copy and generating those types of things. I actually think that one of the bigger opportunities is the compliance side, because generating copy is good, but going through and having a assistant 24/7 that can help you audit things and go through and sample and say, hey, where are the outliers in our data and our interactions? Because often the different AI tools can flag things that our human eye might not catch. And as we go through, it lets us spend a lot of time and resources on the compliance side. So, you know, the AI, I think a lot of people think about it as the voice bots, things like that. That's really cool. But those types of things take massive, massive investments. So, you know, we really try to approach development iteratively and focus on the small wins every single week. And very quickly, all those small wins compound and go through and generate really, really big results over months and quarters and years for different clients. So as we go through, I try to think about it as, what's the lowest hanging fruit? How can you go through and say, you know, I need to make sure that my complaint rates are a little bit lower, or I need to make sure that I do QA a little bit more efficiently this month. Provides awesome areas, and there's so much good tooling out there where you don't really need to invest a ton of money. Those projects, you know, if you put a massive budget behind it, it can be intimidating to take on. And also, the talent's really expensive on the AI side. So sometimes those third-party tools can actually be really, really beneficial versus trying to have a massive initiative where you bring on a head of AI and a giant team there that might go get poached.
Absolutely. That's definitely a sentiment that I've heard echoed through the people that are actually using AI, is that it doesn't have to be some huge run right out of the gate to make these giant changes. Micro changes can have a macro effect when it comes to using AI.
And the documentation matters too. Because like as you're going through, like the number one thing, if you can document any process and break it into micro steps, then it's really easy to automate. So what I find is the most important thing is not actually developing fancy software that goes through. It's actually documenting every single thing you do in your organization, breaking it down into all the steps, documenting the why behind each of those steps. Because a lot of times the things we just do because we've done it a long way or a long time for that, you know, the specific way. So documentation, I think that's the number one goal for 2024 for a lot of organizations, because then you can let the really smart people come in and say, okay, you've given us all of your problems. Here's some solutions that might be different than the solutions you'd come up with.
Yeah, definitely. Dave, this has been a really great conversation. I appreciate your time. Is there anything else that you want to touch on before we sign off today?
I think the really big thing that is exciting in my mind is the industry's come a really long way in terms of pulling texting and emailing and other forms of digital engagement kind of into the domain of debt collection and recoveries. The next iteration really on that is starting to add additional inbound channels. So as we think through fundamentally what a recovery organization does, they're trying to advertise to the consumer their different responsibilities to come through and resolve. And they want to do that in a lot of different places. Outbound communication is one way to do that. Another way to do that is really extensive inbound engagement. So letting people resolve accounts through financial apps or through different financial advisors that they might choose to work with, like credit counseling agencies or debt settlement firms or law firms. So as we really think about the next generation of omni-channel engagement, it's saying, okay, we've got the digital channels down. Now let's think about all of the other inbound channels, digital or not, that consumers might want to interact through, and developing really a centralized hub for all those different channels. Because, you know, right now people have 5 or 6 different outbound channels. Surely they're going to have 50 plus inbound channels. And that's really exciting, because it changes the profitability profile of a lot of recovery operations. So, you know, really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, Christina. But as we go through, I think for the collections universe, there's a ton of innovation left over the next several years that we're excited to be a part of. And we're really excited to work with different technology providers and clients on.
Absolutely. Dave, thank you so much again.